listening to the Online Supercoach Podcast, the place where business owners create breakthroughs. Here's your host, AJ Mirza.
Hey, everybody. This is Coach Rachel, and we are here to take over the Online Supercoach Podcast, and I'm joined by Coach Celeste, and we are known as the Cali Twin Stars. We tried to say that at the same time, but it was okay. That's Cali Twin Stars, guys, because Celeste is actually in LA, so she's queen of down south, and I'm in the Bay, so queen of the NorCal, so we're here to talk about LinkedIn and go a little bit deeper into how you can build your audience and gain thousands of potential of just high quality leads on LinkedIn for free, actually. So Celeste has a couple of questions that we prepped together, and I want to let her go ahead and take a little bit of a lead and ask me some, but let's go without further ado. Let's make it do.
For sure. So I'm really excited to be helping out in this and getting this information to everybody. But of course, before we start, I gotta ask you, do you have a mantra or a quote that you live by or like to remind yourself of on a daily basis?
I don't.
Anything that gets you hype?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's so many things that get me hyped. And, like, we had this conversation a little bit ago about the fact that as you transition, as you grow, I think these quotes end up in your life when they need to be in your life. And sometimes, like, there's just a blanket quote that a lot of people have that they're like, yeah, this is, like, what fires me up every time I hear it. And there's a lot of those for me as well. But I feel like through every phase in life, it's, like, new level, new devil kind of thing is every time I get to a new place, there's like a different type of quote or saying that I need to say to myself. And if I did say one right now that I really, really like, it was, one of them was like, don't be a dick. Like, just be nice to people because everybody's going through something. And the other one was like, you are closer to your goals than you've ever been before. And like every time, if you just push a little bit more every day, like technicality wise, you're closer to your goal than you've ever been before. And if you can just keep on reminding yourself those things and not about like how far away that goal may be, then it's easier to keep pushing and keep going.
Wow. What a great insight to get this started. So everybody calls you queen of LinkedIn. But of course we want to know why that is. So how did you even get started with LinkedIn? Like, why did you start using it?
Yeah, I got started using LinkedIn because for one, like I just loved that platform, and I know it's not as popular a platform as like Instagram or Facebook has, but it is growing by the minute now. But I just enjoyed it so much more because like it was very business orientated, and on Facebook it felt like there's a lot of just like extra stuff, but like on LinkedIn it just felt like very organic, very easy for me to go on there, talk to people about business, like get things going and like understand like who I was really reaching out to. I just felt like it was just such a great platform to grow on versus any other platform that I have because of like how much it pushed you towards engaging with other people and the way it pushed you towards engaging with other people.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. I remember we had a conversation a few months back and I was on LinkedIn and I was messaging people. I was posting all this stuff, you know, but I wasn't as proactive about messaging everyone or accepting everyone. And you encouraged me to do that. And something that was an apparent difference between LinkedIn and other platforms is that you're not restricted. Like on Instagram, if you go on and you start tagging or messaging a bunch of people, you're going to get a red flag, versus on LinkedIn, you could message a lot of people, and I never had that happen. So knowing that, I mean, what are the people like on LinkedIn versus other platforms that makes it a great place to have so many connections and to reach out to so many people?
Yeah. I think like on LinkedIn, you get a lot less fake profiles was the first thing that I actually enjoyed. Because on Facebook, I'm sure everybody knows, like there's just a million fake profiles. Even on Instagram, you'll get that. But on LinkedIn, most people on there are not fake. Like, they're all real people. One, two, they all have like a growth mindset. They're all working in some fashion. They all are really, really interested in progressing themselves as like career-wise and like growth-wise. So the type of people, the quality of people on LinkedIn are quite a bit different. And then also, when you reach out to them, like, they're more interested in talking to strangers. Like, what I've noticed when it comes to Facebook is a lot of people add friends on Facebook. Like, that's just how it goes about. Like, oh, I see that you're connected to like my other friends, so we might know each other. And people are very apprehensive as well to add people that are not friends. So it's a very friend on friend type of platform. And then on Instagram, it's like you're just literally connecting to a lot of influencers. Versus on LinkedIn, it's much more of like a networking. Like, you just want to network with people that are in your field or in your area. Like, it doesn't matter if there's somebody that you don't know, somebody that you do know. It's a platform that allows you to connect with as many people as possible, regardless if you've known them in the past or if you presently know them. And it also has like these rings of circles that allows you to know which type of connection they are. Like, if they're a third rank connection or a first rank connection, meaning like they're a friend to friend or somebody that like could be a referral for you. So it's very geared more for networking with just a larger platform of people instead of just friends. And like, it doesn't make that awkward feeling that you have when you see somebody on Facebook. You're like, maybe I should add them, but like, I haven't talked to them in a really long time. So like, will they add me back? Like, none of that questioning comes to your head when it's on LinkedIn, because it's literally just supposed to be made so that you connect with everybody.
Wow, that's actually a lot of really good information. And it gives me some questions that I think a lot of people probably have when it comes to LinkedIn. So we know that it's a platform that encourages networking, right? Mm-hmm. But people network in different ways. And sometimes you get the spammy networkers. And I think this can unfortunately deter people from wanting to use it or connect people, because it maybe they feel like, oh, well, I'm going to try to reach out to this person, see if they're a good fit for my next program, just make a connection. Maybe they know people. Maybe we can grow something together. Maybe they're going to an event I've been to or want to go to, etc., whatever. But then you get that message instantly upon accepting connection. Hey, Rachel, have you tried this oil I've been rubbing all over my body? It's like, oh, my God, who the heck are you? So how do you suggest people, A, like, address it, and B, actually stop getting that?
Yeah. So I love this question, because I think this is probably like the biggest reason why most people don't use LinkedIn, is because of how many terrible marketers there are on it, which is actually awesome for me in a sense, because I just get to message them back and like prop them.
Let them know.
Yeah, I let them know. And like, it turns into a sales conversation from that point. So if anybody's in marketing, like, it's a great place for you to be like, hey, this is not a good message. Let me help you. But with the spam, it's like, everybody's going to get it. It's kind of like an email box, because it's so open. Like, you are going to also get the spam. It's like, if you have, like, everybody wants like 100,000 followers, a million followers on Instagram. But then once you get that amount of followers, you're also going to get like a lot of haters. You're going to get a lot of like weird DMs and stuff like that. And so it's kind of like the same way that I like to talk about LinkedIn, is that as you continue to grow, you will get the spam, you will get that. But if you're working your way around LinkedIn messaging, you're cultivating your community, you're becoming an influencer, which is such an amazing platform to become an influencer at this point in time, then the ROI of what you'll be cultivating will be extremely higher than the spam. Now, if you're not using LinkedIn to promote, to go out there and to talk to people that like you want to connect with, then you will only get spam, because you're not actually going out there and like reaching out to people that you should be reaching out to, or like putting out content that should attract your ideal customers. So like, the only thing you're going to get is spam. And that's like the biggest thing, is like, most people just only get spam because they're not actually using the platform to connect with the right people or promote to the right people so they get those other messages. And that's like the biggest differentiation. And I think like something that I actually talked to AJ about, because that was like his main reason for not being on there. And the second that I was like, no, like this is what's going on, it's like a faucet turned on and he started getting a bunch of clients from LinkedIn, because all he had to do is just like start switching it up and cultivating that conversation and attracting those leads with his content.
Yeah. And you know, like the thing about LinkedIn too, that you said that interests me the most, is you said that it's a great time to become an influencer on LinkedIn. I think a lot of people listening, especially if they're from the fitness space, the most attractive platform it seems to become an influencer on is Instagram, given different opportunities and things that can come up. But what I'm curious about is, what do you think is the difference between a LinkedIn influencer and an Instagram or Twitter influencer?
That's such a good question. The biggest difference, I mean, honestly, like, I'm going to just kind of like make this up, right? So, because I'm like, I don't know what like the biggest difference could be, like statistics.
Like what makes them an influencer on LinkedIn then? I guess that's a better question. Like what makes somebody
an influencer on LinkedIn versus Instagram?
Yeah.
Well, LinkedIn's like a platform specifically for growth versus just looking good kind of thing. And so like Instagram is like, you know, it has all these other components where it's just aesthetically you want to look nice. Like there's all these things within Instagram that make you grow. And on LinkedIn versus though, it's like very predominantly about growth. So, I mean, I've seen people on there that of course are not like, oh, they're in a glamorous place. It'll be like this guy sitting in his backyard and he's just like giving like serious life lessons about your business and growth, and like people are eating it up because it's such great info. But like if you put that on Instagram, I'm sure it would not do as well, because like he's, you know, he's just wearing a t-shirt. He had like after shave, like it looked like he hadn't shaved for a while, but like his ability to speak about these things was impeccable, and like people love it. So on LinkedIn, it's just a different style of culture, I'd say, where like, yes, of course, if you look attractive, if you have like all these nice things around you, like it will promote, it will help, but people are very, very interested in content. And
you can't just cover it up with the fluff, basically.
Exactly. Like there was this one girl that I actually had saw on LinkedIn who, she's Instagram famous. Like I've seen her, she's got like millions of followers, and she posted one of her videos that she posted on Instagram on LinkedIn, and it was like her in like a bikini top kind of, and very, very short shorts, and she looked really cute. Like I'm not saying anything bad, like there's nothing against anybody that does that. It was just that like on LinkedIn it didn't do as well, because people were like, wow, like how are we supposed to take you seriously if you're just going to be dancing around like that? Like we want to actually know why this is beneficial for our health. So like they were actually asking for the serious content versus just like, oh, she looks really cute and she's like cutting a cucumber. So it's just like a different, it was just like very, very interesting to see the difference of like reaction versus on Instagram. Everybody's like, dang, hottie.
And
they're like, where's the content?
Yeah. So I think that brings up a good point. It's like the audience on LinkedIn is very different, or they log on to the platform with a different intention or a different expectation than logging on to Facebook or Instagram. Like it's been shown time and time again, a lot of times people log on Facebook, family and friends, what's going on, updates. Mm-hmm. You go onto Instagram, it's like, here's my life, I'm doing awesome, everybody loves me, you know, that kind of thing. This is like aesthetic, it's creative, it's fun, influencers get to be who they are, there's different transparencies, there's all sorts of different things. It's like a world of people we don't even know are influencers, right? And then on LinkedIn, it's like people, you're expressing that they want information, they want valuable content. So you can spot a LinkedIn influencer by the amount of like reactions their content's getting. Like how can you spot a LinkedIn influencer?
Yeah, so for most people that are on LinkedIn, like if you see their content circling your feed often, you're like, okay, this person's doing really, really well. And something that they're doing is like off the charts, right? So like for one, you'll see their content like often, because that's why I'm saying LinkedIn is such a great place right now to become an influencer, because they promote content like no other platform I've ever seen. Like I get impressions from my content like over and over again, consistently throughout weeks, and like my videos will get thousands and thousands of views. The last one that I posted was like, I got 10,000 views, like hundreds of impressions, like comments from everybody. And then like my inbox also got flooded with messages like, hey, I saw this video, super inspirational. Is there anything like you do to help people? So that's like the thing about it is like, you will get a ridiculous explosion of traction by promoting like by just putting out like video and stuff like that. And you'll spot an influencer because like what they're doing is like, they're going in and they're just putting in like hand to hand combat kind of thing. Right. So their views on their videos are like upwards of thousands usually. And like, it's not only that, it's that they have like a lot of connections as well. It's like, oh, okay, this person's got a track record where they have a bunch of connections. Like they're constantly in the field, like they're talking to other people. Like that's really kind of what it would look like if you did see somebody. So for me, like if I look at somebody else's LinkedIn and I'm like, okay, this is an authoritative LinkedIn profile. For one, I'm seeing, oh, how many people are they connected with? You know, how many people are following their content? If they have like 50,000 connections and like literally a couple of people, like their information, I'm thinking in my head, maybe they're targeting the wrong people. But generally, if you have like a lot of connections, like you won't get low engagement. Like most of your stuff should do well, because LinkedIn's just promoting the crap out of everything that you publish on there.
So, okay, that makes a lot of sense. And that's helpful, I think, for a lot of listeners, especially those who have never actually been on it, and maybe they want to model success. But I have some other questions for you, for the people who maybe have never used it. Maybe they're afraid to get back on it. They had it when they were looking for a job. Now they're working in their business and they're trying to grow it. So I have all these questions now, Rachel. I'm like, where do I start? So first of all, what would be like, okay, so someone gets back on LinkedIn. Do you think it's good for them to have a lot of information on their page? Like if they're running a business, how do you think that they should focus on the design of their page? Like, should they put their past work or should they just focus on their business?
Yeah, actually I get this question a lot, because whenever I help people with their LinkedIn's, like that are starting to market on it now, it's exactly like what you said. They started on LinkedIn because they wanted to get a job maybe, and then now they're like, oh, there's no point because now I run a business and I don't need my resume up here. So what I always recommend them is just kind of like put in information about them so they look like a well-rounded person. Like they will promote a more well-rounded profile. And so that's kind of what I'm like trying to get to people is like, maybe it's not important for you to say like, hey, I used to work at Target like when I was 15 or something like that. But you know, you could include stuff from your past that is relevant to your business that you started doing recently. Like if you, for instance, if I was to like look at your LinkedIn and say like, okay,
so pull it up, let's do it.
You're like, yes, I'll work on my LinkedIn now.
Let's do a case study.
If I was to look at yours, I would want to see like, okay, she's written a book, she's done a mastermind, she's like done speeches. Like I want to see all those as separate things inside of your profile.
Good, I've got that.
Like one thing that's like, I'm Celeste and I teach like love and all this stuff, and like all in one cap. I want these all in separate things. So like that's how you build like a better, more full resume on your thing, is just like chunk out the stuff that you've done in your business as like the differentiators of like, oh, they're a speaker, they're a keynote here, they did this, they did masterminds, they like put on this event, whatever it is, and like chunk those things out so it's still like full. And the reason why you also want to do that is because then you can put little pieces of content that people can look at in there, like videos and pictures, yes, and stuff like that. And it's all displayed out. So when they look down, they're like, whoa, this person's like got it going on. Like, who is this? Like, you know, you just want to get to know them. You're like, that's impressive. And then you want to know more about them. And so like, that's one thing is just having like chunking out the stuff you do in your business. If you don't want to put like past stuff, which is totally understandable because it's no Target is not going to be like, oh my God, they used to work at Target. I wonder if they have discounts. Like, no, like you want to put some stuff about your business. Obviously.
That's really good information. And I think that like the main takeaway from that is to look at all the skills and attributes and things that you've done over the time of creating your business or even leading up to it. That's related and beneficial or inspiring or somewhat like eye-catching to other people, and then make it different like associate jobs or experience on LinkedIn. So maybe you would put NASM certified personal trainer, and then you might put specializing in behavior change, specializing in sports mindset, specializing in nutrition, rather than having it all under one. That way you could then include, yeah, I got specialization in this, and then I went and gave a speech on it at this high school, and here's the video of me doing it.
Right, exactly. Okay. So you're literally creating like a funnel within like your resume on LinkedIn. And then in the end, you can even have like little calls to actions in there. So it's like, there's so many ways that you could just bring people straight to like where you want them to be on your page to an external link inside of your page. It's just literally like a fishing pole out there saying like, hey. Ew.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really, really cool how they set all that up.
Yeah, they want, I mean, like you said, it's a platform for that. So they obviously want you to use it to its fullest potential. And I can remember when I had a LinkedIn profile and I always knew I wanted to run my own business. So I didn't really want to be seen for other opportunities. But at the same time, I was kind of avoiding LinkedIn because I thought that it was only for people searching for work or working for corporate America without actually thinking that this could be a great place to get leads. And something that I've noticed is that LinkedIn has really expanded the way that you can interact on the platform. It's much more social, and it's very much more encouraging of networking in a positive way, regardless of if you run a business, work for a company, whatever. So what have you found is working best on LinkedIn? You mentioned videos are doing really well. You mentioned this is a good time to become an influencer, posting frequently, etc. But what do you find within those contexts, like maybe time of video, articles, links? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, give us a sneak peek of like what's working best. What can we start implementing?
Yeah. Just to backtrack a second though, I also wanted to ask you, did you ask AJ, like, is LinkedIn the place that you actually met AJ?
I was gonna say that, but I was like, oh, she's on a roll. Like, yeah, I met AJ. So like, this was in 2015. That was when I was like, I'm up with my stuff. I just was building my LinkedIn profile. I came from a family that encouraged this. I like found AJ because obviously I'm like, I ain't working for anybody. I'm going to do my own thing. And then AJ started. I don't even remember. I just saw this hot guy pop up on my feed. I was like, who is that? In his like white shirt ad that pops up everywhere still. And so I was like, I'm gonna follow him. I ended up connecting with him. I was like, oh wait, this dude can help me. And now we're great friends, and I work with him, as you know. We coach together. So, yeah, that's it all worked out. That's the secret part he doesn't know.
The secret part he doesn't
know. See if he listens to the episode.
I know, right? We'll be like, hey, AJ.
So go ahead and tell us. Besides cute pictures, so what's working best?
So obviously, you know, white shirts, attractive face, but it's all the girls.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, actually you covered one of the main things that are working really, really well was video content is going out of the roof. I haven't seen video content like do this well on any platform since like when Facebook first started promoting video content, honestly.
Wow.
Like, it's ridiculous. Literally, like, the videos that I'm posting, like, they get thousands of views. Like, and I'm just saying this because, like, I'm shocked. I'm like, what? that got that many views? Like, it shocks me how many views it's getting. And so that's how I know. I'm like, I can't be that cool. Come on, guys.
Yes, you can be. Right. I've watched your video 1,000 times.
Like, literally, the thousands of views was just Celeste clicking on it over and over. Yeah, so video is really good. And honestly, like, I know on Facebook there's this thing that's like, oh, you know, you want a minute or less because people have a slow, like, very small attention span. On Instagram, you literally only get a minute or less. But on LinkedIn, you actually get a variety and amount of time, however long you want to post. And I do recommend just posting longer videos on there because people have a much, much larger attention span on LinkedIn versus any other platform. Like, they'll literally watch your entire video. If you post an hour-long video, they're, like, such a committed person that they'll watch the whole video kind of thing. And the same I've noticed actually with writing is, like, they have such a long attention span. Like, I could literally write, like, longer posts than any other place that I'll put, and then I'll put a call to action at the end of my longer articles, and people will still click on it. I mean, like, I love the entire post that you put. It was, like, super informing, like, blah, blah, blah. So I agree that, like, your longer content can actually be put on there, that if, like, you're a very deep writer, it's a great platform for you to go out there and start writing, and making sure that at the end of it allows you to put a link inside of your articles. And I always recommend people, like, if you're going to post something on LinkedIn that's writing, do not post it as a post. Okay, post it as an article. And that's so important. Like, if there's one thing you take from me, don't just post. Put it as an article and publish it onto your page. So A, it looks like you're well endowed. Your profile will always show that forever. Whenever they go to your profile, say, like, Rachel Takasaka has written 24 articles, and it'll have them all right there, so they can just go to it straight away. So do not just put posts, because it just goes into the wind. And then the other thing as well is when you post videos, you can post longer as well. So it's just, it'll come up constantly for other people. So those are the main things. And in the articles, you can link it out to your website. So at the very end, you just, like, I put it in larger font than the rest of it. It's saying something cute, like, if you like my article, you'll love my website. Something cute like that, right? And then I just let them go. Let them go to my website and continue the funnel from there. But it's such a great platform because it doesn't dink you for putting your links inside of your articles either. They'll still do really well, even if there is a call to action in the end that's leading them out of LinkedIn, which I love about LinkedIn, that it's not, like, super persnickety about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And would you say that, like, when it comes to posts in general, is there any reason to make a post, or do you think that strictly articles are the best way? Like, what if someone has, like, a short update? Is it best to make that an article still?
I wouldn't even put a short update. It's not, like, that type of platform. I'd say, like, for me personally, from what I've noticed and realized, it's really not that type of platform where you're writing a tweet. It's not, like, that's just not the culture that's on there. It's like, oh, I got my nails done. Nobody cares. Like, in that way, post that on Instagram. Like, there's so many cool places to post that. And, like, that's part of your personality and stuff like that. But I would say, like, bigger content pieces are probably for that. And, you know, if you just want to, like, update people with little things, like, hey, my book just got published, you can post that on there, whatever it may be. But I would just say, like, might as well get your biggest bang for your buck, and don't worry about the little stuff, like little tiny posts here and there that's not really going to add a lot of value, and, like, put your main energy into the longer pieces of content that you can post on there that will gain a lot of traction and build your audience and build your brand.
So I know that when you make an article, you have the opportunity to add hashtags upon publishing. Do you know the best way to go about this on LinkedIn? Is there specific strategy to this? They even suggest some sometimes.
Yeah, they do suggest some hashtags. For hashtags, I'm sure you can get, like, super strategic in there and, like, put a bunch of hashtags that are related to your niche, but I haven't seen, like, as big a bang for your buck when it comes to putting in, like, specific hashtags. Like, you could dominate a certain hashtag, I'm sure, but it is a fairly new a fairly new kind of thing that's like trending around is like the hashtags on LinkedIn and Facebook and all these different places. But like my biggest question to you would be like, have you ever searched a hashtag on Facebook?
Yeah, absolutely not.
Okay. Not a lot of people do that on LinkedIn either. And that's just like the trend that I've noticed. Like, I'm sure there's some like empirical data to that. And please, if you do find that, send it my way. Happy to take a look at it and, you know, see if there's more benefit than I'm actually seeing, because I haven't seen a lot of benefit personally. And from any other account that I've managed, never really saw a huge benefit from like specifically tagging one thing or like making up a hashtag. Like what I've noticed more is like, it's better to just connect with people that you're interested in connecting with. Like if you're looking for, you know, busy dads that are in a certain area, like you would be better off just adding a lot of busy dads in your demographic that are looking to like gain weight that you see, or like lose weight, whatever it may be in your niche, than hashtagging busy dads. Like I just
think, yes.
You know what I mean? So it's just like bang for your buck kind of thing. Like if you're going to spend an hour of time on LinkedIn, I would say it's probably more bang for your buck to look for like the people and the connections than the hashtags. Cause it's just like, it almost feels like a cop out. Like I'm just going to tag them and hopefully they'll find me. It's like, yeah, just go out there and find them and like, they'll be there.
Yeah, actually, I discovered that recently because I know a lot of recruiters will use it to find people for jobs, and I thought, well, we could do the same thing for leads. And so I actually tried, I tried on LinkedIn recently upon the launch of a new program. I, like, searched for that type of person because most people might put in their bio, like, NPC bikini competitor or bikini competitor, or it will show up on their profile somewhere. So someone might actually have mommypreneur, dadpreneur. Wow. So it's like those are things that we could be searching for, and I think that's a really great point. And now I would love to know as well in regard to articles, this is kind of backtracking a little bit, but do you think it would be beneficial to use the same headline on the platform like LinkedIn that you would on Facebook, or do you think it's beneficial to maybe modify based on the social platform you're using?
I think that if it's a headline, usually headlines are very versatile. So if it's like a headline for Facebook and it's Facebook specific, like, hey, if you're in a Facebook group or something like that, right? Like, like then of course, you obviously want to change it a little bit. But generally, I would say that they should be interchangeable. Like most headlines, like are supposed to be just good copy. Like it's a good copy headline. Like, blah blah blah, very exciting, call to action, blah blah blah. You know, like something that's just like gets people excited. So like those headlines, usually I haven't found like too many headlines where I'm like, yeah, you should just keep that there. Like that shouldn't be moved. You know?
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would be like the main thing. Like I'm sure like if I looked at a certain piece of content and somebody was like, I'm not feeling it. Like you will know intuitionally if it should be changed or not. Like that should probably just be something like a feeling that you will get inside internally. Like this probably would not be good on this platform. Like you'll know that. And I think like the more you use each platform, you'll feel it. And from like all of the stuff I've talked about of like the culture on LinkedIn and everything, like just if you haven't used it before, like just listen to this podcast again and like listen to the culture that I'm talking about on there, and then think about your headline. Be like, am I feeling this? Like, is this true? Like, is this going to be authentic? And if not, then go back and change it. But like just culture-wise, just think about like culture and what people are looking for.
Yeah, like should I wear a bikini for this video? Should I not cut the cucumber?
No, but on the topic, why does it have to be a bikini and a cucumber? Like, why?
It works on IG, baby. Maybe LI is ready for it. Okay, but really though, we're talking about using a platform that many people are not fully comfortable with. If they're not using it. I remember feeling sort of awkward. It was kind of like I showed up to a party that there was an implied invite, but I don't know if I was going to fit in.
Yeah.
And I think that these types of perceptions, like, are, you know, protective mechanisms, obviously, but we need to learn how to grow from them. So can you provide some maybe like 3 or 5 key points for common etiquette when it comes to hopping on LinkedIn. Like maybe in regard to commenting, messaging, posting in general, or things of that nature, you know, a profile picture. Like, what are some common etiquette to keep in mind?
Oh, for sure. And before that, also, I just want to do like a backtrack side note before I forget, and then I'm going to go into those things. There was something that you had mentioned about like hashtags and SEO. There is an SEO section inside of your profile that you should all be aware of, and it's the headline right under your name. And so anybody that's looking, they'll be like, oh, how am I going to get like into a certain SEO area of like mompreneur or whatever? It's the headline. So just remember that whenever you're putting that headline in, that will be your SEO of your web, of your profile for people to search in.
Boom.
Yeah.
Glad you backtracked for that.
I feel like that's actually like really big for your profile. But as etiquette wise, there's a couple of things that I could probably go into, and I would say like that quote, like for one, just don't be a dick. Like don't be that person out there that's like looking at content and then like says something negative. Like for one, like that's probably like my biggest pet peeve is like somebody that comes in and will just like try to downtake somebody else's personality or like whatever is going on. So like that's just like first etiquette, and like a lot of people will get hate on that because they're just like, why would you come into like a platform like this and then like go on somebody's profile and like promote yourself and say like, oh, I'm glad that you mentioned that like protein is really good for your body. Well, did you also know that I sell a protein bar that you can buy here? Like that's like, like the worst things that you could do. It's like super, super spammy. Or telling them like, oh, I don't, like message somebody on the side if you don't agree with their stuff. Like, or, you know, so that's probably like one of the bigger ones is like very, very just overly spammy people. The second thing is when you go out there and message people, I think like this probably is the biggest thing is people always ask me, okay, I hopped on LinkedIn, I'm like posting content and I'm adding people, but now I want to message them, but I don't want to come off as like super, super salesy. Like what do I say to somebody so that I can start a conversation and open a dialogue to these people that could potentially be customers without sounding like a big sales bot or whatever. And like my biggest advice to you is if you're in that position and you're getting like the content, you're doing everything right, like you're putting out value, you're not out there just like asking people to buy your stuff, like you're putting out value and you're getting people like in your network and you're just trying to help people in your community, the first thing you can start doing is like messaging the people that liked your content and appreciating that and saying, thanks, Celeste. I really appreciate that you liked my post. I put a lot of value in there about this. Like how's that going for you? Like, have you done any of the things I had mentioned, or like, was there anything that stood out to you that like really helped you? And like opening that dialogue and talking about like something that you might've liked. If it's somebody who hasn't liked any of your stuff, but has just added you, you can just reach out to them and just like common courtesy, say hi kind of stuff. And like the nice thing about LinkedIn is that like, it's a platform for growth, for talking about business. So like that conversation is opened up super easily within everybody. Everybody's like, hey, well, thanks so much for connecting. I see that you're a financial analyst. How's that going for you? How long have you been doing that? They'll like as common courtesy come back and say, thanks, I've been doing it for so long. What do you do? And that's when you get to open it up and you should have your elevator pitch ready and saying, I do this, I help these people gain like 6 pounds of muscle in like 3 weeks through this awesome program. It's so fun. And you don't I don't recommend you like ask for like a sale at that point either. You just like let them know the cool stuff you do. And if they ask more, then you go for a sale. So I always just try to like build curiosity, build a friendship, build a network. Like this, there's times that I've gone on there and I've just literally gotten like podcast stuff or like people, like the last guy that I just talked to, like I went on his radio show and he has like millions of followers on it. And he's like, I loved this stuff. I'm glad that you reached out. I want to interview you on this. So like not everybody on there might be your client, but there is a potential to network and grow from every connection that you have. And be respectful that they're following you, because it's like, you got to love your followers. You know, it's just part of the game. Don't just be like, they're all following me and I'm cool. It's like, no, these are real people. Talk to them. Like, they're all just people. Yes. Just reach out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that goes for any platform, but that's especially good to know for a new platform that people might be, you know, wanting to try out, especially if they're not getting where they want other ones, or they just are ready to try something new. They feel like maybe they could find more of their ideal market there. But you, like you said, there are sometimes people who will unfortunately make that transition to a pitch really, really fast.
Yeah.
And I would actually, like, I know we kind of touched on this in the beginning, but it'd be nice to know, what can someone say to those people who are marketing directly to you, unsolicited, or even, and I've had a few of this, but even adding you to their email list just because maybe your email's on your profile. Mm. So what would your approach be to addressing that?
Yeah. So I think, like, everybody's going to have a different approach. Like, if you're in marketing in any way, like, those are clients that are reaching out to you that have those spammy things. Like, those are actually clients. So if they're reaching out to you and it looks terrible, you let them know and you proposition them for a client style call. 'Cause they're like literally saying, do you want to do business? And then you come back and you say, yes, but I need to help you. So that's what I would recommend if you're like on the marketing side, actually, is like, those are actually clients. And it's like kind of a nice thing, because you're just getting fed clients on LinkedIn because they're messaging you and they don't really know what they're doing, to be honest. Like, I've talked to a few of them and been like, hey, that was like really, really like upfront. I don't know if you're doing well with that. And they'll be honest with you back. And like, you know, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm just like on here and like just paying for this to be blasted out. And like, I didn't know what to put, so I just put like a pitch. And so like, just know that like, they're just kind of like unseasoned marketers for one. And so like, getting mad at them, like they're probably just going to, like, I feel like that kind of could be like really mean, because they're probably just starting off and they don't really know what they're doing. So it's like, just know that they're just like a baby in the field. They're not trying to be mean. They're just like trying to promote their business. They don't really know how to. So just letting them know, if you are going to message them back saying something like, hey, appreciate the connection, not really interested, and like the message just kind of didn't feel right for me, like, and giving them honest feedback, because like, honest feedback is super, super important for every business. Like, I wish people would tell me honest feedback sometimes if I come off like a certain way, because then it will help me get better. So if you're going to message them back, let them know that. There was like one time where like somebody like sent me an automatic email and they got my name wrong. Like, that's happened like a couple of times. And like, I feel differently, but like, damn, that's the only thing you write that's like you literally writing. The rest is copy and paste. You should at least get that right. And so, like, I had that happen recently, and then I told them, and this is, I told Celeste because it's happening.
That's why I'm laughing.
And they're like, yeah, so just know, like, they don't really know what they're doing to some extent, possibly. Maybe some of them are seasoned. They just feel like bigger bang for their buck if they just put out money like that. But just, I would just delete them if they did that. If they like spam you, you just delete them, you block them, whatever it is, just get them out of sight, out of mind, kind of thing, if it's just bugging you. And like, eventually, if you don't even like that stuff and you just want to put out content, be a producer, hire somebody out. Like, you don't need to be on LinkedIn like doing all the hard work if like you're at the point in your business where you should be automating. So just like, hire somebody out and like, let that be done to handle your LinkedIn, or just delete them and block them if that's something that bugs you a lot. But if you're in the marketing side, let them know, like, hey, I can help you, because this probably isn't doing the best it could be doing, and I could definitely promote this way better, and like, show them how and give them value and help them out. But I always try to go with the approach of like, yeah, it's probably just trying their best.
Yeah, like you said at the beginning.
Yeah.
Don't be a dick. And yeah, I think that's a good reminder for this as well. So I'm wondering now, is there anything, because I feel like we've gotten into a lot of information and it's all really helpful, especially for those looking to get into it. So before we figure out like how they can connect with you specifically, can you just share, like, is there anything that you think I should have asked you that I didn't ask you?
I think that like we went through pretty much like every angle of LinkedIn. I think that there's like there's a lot that I didn't cover with within like your profile and like how to make it like an authority profile that I could go into, but like that's a whole nother like longer conversation. But I think we went through like pretty much everything and like very well rounded. Like if you just took the notes from you from this podcast and put them into action, like you'd probably do very well on LinkedIn.
That's great. So I think that's really great. And I guess the main thing is then from here is that for anybody listening, like how can they connect with you so maybe they could get more of that information or can find out more of that stuff aside from just what we've discussed here?
Yeah, definitely. So if you want, you could literally just hit me up on LinkedIn and like add me and send me a message on there asking, my name is Rachel Takasaka and I'm the only Rachel Takasaka, so you won't get me confused. Just don't misspell my name. It's RachaelTakasaka. Or you could just go to my website and it's creationmove.com and you can just send me like a note like, hey, I saw this, just looking for a little bit of help within that. Happy to give anybody like free consultations about it, like little 15-minute consultations just to like clean up a little bit whatever they are, because it's like I love LinkedIn, it's such a fun place, so totally happy to like give those out to people that just want like a little bit of a boost or like ask a couple of questions about it or clarifications and helping promote their business or expand their business or brand on LinkedIn.
Awesome. That's so great. So thank you. I'm glad that we were able to hop on and do this for everybody and record this podcast as well. And yeah, I'm looking forward to re-listening to it myself. I guess this would be the closing remark portion.
I love cue the fade out. Both like, yeah. Yeah.
Cue well, the music.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope you had fun with us today from the Cali Twin Stars in California. This is Coach Celeste and Coach Rachel signing out.
Adios.
Thanks for listening to the Online Super Coach Podcast. If you like this show, share it with your friends and subscribe on iTunes. For show notes and for free training on how you can attract, convert, and deliver like a $1 million online coach, visit OnlineSuperCoach.com.